Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, we talk about Week 7 sits and starts and more coming up now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Neil Crabtree.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. It's going to be a two-man show tonight. It's just Neil and I. Arms is showing his birthday girl some love. Showing his wife some birthday love. So he's out, which means me and Neil are actually going to get to speak.
Yes.
We get to say stuff.
It's not an hour and a half of Arms.
No, it's not. But since we get that opportunity, and honestly, you get the least opportunity, especially with Arms here. I'm guilty too sometimes.
Well, you got to moderate the show, though. Segways and all that.
Neil knows how it goes. So since you get to say anything without him interrupting from the get-go, what do we got, Neil? What's up?
Going to jump into week 7 to see if actually anything's going on as far as like anything that is exciting to us, what's not exciting to us.
And I have a feeling it's going to be an exciting week. Like the first game of the week was good, the Eagles-Giants game.
Much better than I expected. I mean, it wasn't like fundamentally good.
There was definitely a lot of really bad moments.
It was even slop.
It was. I'm still replaying the Daniel Jones thing in my head.
That's terrible, man. I feel bad for him in a way.
Oh, I do too. Because, I mean, he wasn't expecting to get loose like that. He was not expecting to be flying down the field like Deshaun Jackson, or lack thereof, since he's hurt again. But, I mean, he was there. He was gone.
They were comparing that to the butt fumble, which I don't think it's that bad, but I still feel bad for him. And it was brought up on some of the betting lines that it was like plus 400 for him to get a rushing touchdown that game.
Yeah.
And he fucked a lot of people.
Oh, man.
Think about all the excitement going on when somebody's running there. Like, he's going to get the touchdown. Hell yeah. Plus 400.
Yeah, yeah. Winning thousands and he tripped over nothing.
Yeah, on himself.
Fucking phantom tackle. Man, he looks fast.
Well, they said he's running 20 plus miles per hour.
I was pretty damn impressed, to be honest with you. Like, yeah. I was looking at him and I'm like, man, he could definitely beat Kalen Ballage in a foot race.
Yep. Without all that being said, the only thing that was really terrible about that game was the penalties. Like, Giants just shot themselves in the foot so bad.
Yeah.
I said, I don't even have a horse in that race, and I was getting angry.
Yeah, I wasn't real thrilled to watch the Giants blow yet another one. Because it's like you've said a bunch of times, like, it sucks watching the same team suck.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not a Giants fan by any means, I don't want to watch them suck all the time. Like, they've invested a lot into their core of players, Daniel Jones, Saquon, you know. They've got a Julius Peppers. They've got Blake Martinez they invested in. Like, they've invested, and they still are terrible. It's disheartening. I don't want to see that happen. Wow, the questions are already coming.
Nice.
We're going to get to week 7, absolutely, but we might as well go ahead and answer some questions. Miles says, drop the Saints for Washington defense. I'm going to have to pull up my magic wheel.
Washington's playing against Dallas. But, like, I think that Biff would be seeing the field a bunch. So there'll be more opportunities for giving up more yards, too, though.
Yeah, and I don't really I don't really see Dallas's offense. It's not going to be what it was with Dak.
Right.
We know that. But Andy Dalton can't possibly be that bad. I mean, he's got weapons. Yeah,
I love Andy Dalton, but, like,
there's weapons there.
I wouldn't actively pursue Washington as a defense.
I wouldn't either. Like, I'm not real happy with the Saints defense, but Miles, is there any other options on the wire? Because I just don't think that's a good one.
Like, even the Panthers aren't going to be blowing up the Saints if they do win.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And the Panthers they're capable. So until you get us another defense to consider, and then he asked, start Gibson. I think it's okay to start Gibson this week.
I'd be fine with that.
I mean, Dallas's defense is absolutely terrible, and the floor of Gibson is super safe. Really, really safe.
I kept seeing throughout the week that they have 7 Pro Bowlers.
Who?
Dallas.
From last year?
No, just seven in their lifetime, seven Pro Bowlers.
Oh, okay.
And they're still playing that bad.
Okay, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Like fundamental football, and they're failing at that.
Oh, Miles was responding to Kashif, who said, do y'all think I should start Antonio Gibson or Clyde Edwards this week?
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still going to get plenty of touches. That's a push for me, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not real sure how I feel about that one. I'm not one way or the other heavily.
Yeah, either way, I think it's his preference on that one, because I can see Gibson having a good game.
Yeah, technically he should have a good game, yeah, but J.D. McKissick keeps cutting in a little bit, and you know, it's hard to tell who they'll have next. They'll bring someone in that's aged out, like although we don't know if he's aged out, but we can touch on it real quick. Antonio Brown is back.
Yeah.
Officially. I know a lot of savvy owners went out and grabbed him when they could.
The rich get richer, right?
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Antonio Brown, yet again. What's your quick thoughts on that, Neil?
Well, my first thought is what happens to Scotty Miller? Is he just gone? Are they really going to be five deep and just? I don't know. Like,
that's my instant thought. Is Scotty Miller? Somebody's got to see touches, and it's not. And I mean, everybody's going to see touches, but as far as who's on the field, you're not taking Godwin off the field. You're not taking Evans off the field. So the most logical thing is to take Scotty Miller off the field. You got Antonio Brown. Like, he's literally the perfect guy to put in the slot on that team.
He's, like I said, he still have Gronk. And Rojo's been really, 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 really solid this year.
Yeah, he has.
I'm actually happy he's doing well.
Me too, because just like some of those teams, you don't want to see guys just be awful. That's not what we
want. Like Rojo is like, he's going to be good this year. He's going to be good.
He's going to do it.
He's going to do it finally. Yeah, he actually is now.
So far, he is looking pretty solid for sure. But AB, I don't know about the fantasy implications, because again, there's a lot of mouths to feed there, and Rojo is playing well. But for the team, like, this is fantastic. The Buccaneers are already looking pretty good. They just whipped Green Bay, and I don't think their couple of losses or anything to even worry about. Like, I think that's growing pains, figuring out how this new team's going to gel with Tom Brady at quarterback, and it's working out really well. And I want to say real quick, last episode I said the whole thing's working out well for both teams, but that, you know, it doesn't take long.
No.
The Patriots, it's not working out so well. It's not. They're not the same team without him.
Now, the thing is with AB, we can touch on, is that he's obviously not going there for selfish reasons, because he should be smart enough to know he's not going to go to a team with that deep a wide receiver and expect, you know, 6 to 8 targets a game or so.
Yeah, maybe he's come to his senses a little bit.
I'm coming there, help out here and there.
Yeah.
He'll be solid as long as he just keeps his head on straight.
All he's got to do is just shut his mouth.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as the leader of this country. Shut up. Like, just shut up. Like, some people just have to shut up to be successful. Antonio Brown is one of those.
Yeah,
shut up.
Yeah, you say your policies might be fine, Trump, but you just need to shut up. Get off Twitter.
No. Yeah. Yeah, well, I got so much more I could add to that, but I'm not going to.
Right.
But AB, just be quiet. Like,
yeah.
For some reason, no one can be quiet. You got like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman controversy over talking about planes flying over, which to me was nothing.
Yeah.
It was no big deal whatsoever. But I mean, everybody just keeps getting busted for saying shit that offends everybody.
Arians has dealt with him a good bit already with the Steelers, and hopefully Brady can keep him down too. So,
yeah.
It's positive, I think.
I think it's positive too. I mean, he got suspended 8 games. We haven't heard a single bit since he got arrested for doing whatever he did with the moving guys.
Right.
But I mean, all the other allegations have seemed to just fade away and disappear. So
it settled or something.
Yeah. So this is his Kareem Hunt situation. Like, are you going to turn it around and get back to playing good football? Because he could probably play a few more years at a high level.
Yeah.
So are you going to do that, or are you just going to say piss on it? So got a good chance to actually do something, maybe even a title. I mean, that team's good enough. The defense is really good.
Devin's insane on that team. It's White, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, White. He was insane last week.
It's hard to get him. Yeah, Devin Bush is out for the season, sadly. But
watching him, he was everywhere last week. Man.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I hope Lavonte David's good. Shaq yeah. Barrett's good.
I love Lavonte.
Carlton Davis, it looks like.
And Sue's like resurging.
Yeah, Sue is. Yeah, he sure is. And Jordan Whitehead has been an underrated guy that's stepping up. Like, there's just a lot of good players on that team. And they look really smart right now for bringing Brady in. Really, really smart. You thought it was just to fill the seats, but it's not. I mean, they've got a shot to do something. So you add AB to the mix. Things could happen. So
and to wrap it up on AB, we talked about it before the show. It's like, this is probably the time to sell AB if you're wanting to get rid of him. Sell him now before he actually gets to a game, because this is probably the biggest hype for him.
Yeah,
it's gonna get rid of him.
I agree. Yeah, we were talking about just that, and I picked him up in the only two sleeper leagues I'm in, and I was able to grab him in one other league, I think, maybe two dynasties. I'd have to check, but I mean, he's available. I'm not going to hold on to him.
I held on to him in that one dynasty league forever. Just holding on to him.
I hope half my leagues aren't listening and like, well, I mean, he wants to sell him pretty bad. But I do. I grabbed him. But in one league, red zone, where I suck, I've got my first win, and I'm half tempted.
Yeah, against me, I was undefeated.
Yeah. Like, I'm half. Oh, was it against you?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. But I'm half tempted to keep AB because I have Scotty Miller there, and I had to start him. Right. He was my wide receiver three because I took this team over and tore it down to the ground. But, yeah, AB might be – he might be my new starter after I traded Emmanuel Sanders in a deal for Derrick Henry. So, looks like AB might live on that roster.
You got 2 weeks to wait on that one.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. I'm not going to make the playoffs, so I'm not sure what I'm waiting on. He'll probably be for sale. Let's start diving in to week 7. No more questions on the docket currently, but feel free to bring them on. We've got the Panthers and Saints first and foremost. Neil, is there anyone in particular in this game that pops out as you as a must start and anyone that pops out as a definite sit?
Well, like, even with the Panthers right now, like, Davis is still – he's still got starting, but he's been no contact this week. And I don't know if he's, like, has injury issues right now or they're just trying to protect him from having injury issues. I think – is Samuel hurt?
I feel like he's questionable.
But a lot of the ones for the Panthers are just the gimme guys. I would start with those guys. And
do you think that DJ Moore is starting to resurge a little bit?
I got to see it a few more weeks, I would think.
Yeah. See, I feel like Robbie Anderson has been a nice, fun story so far, but I feel like DJ Moore is eventually going to reclaim his spot.
I hope he does, receiver. Considering like his asking price in the offseason.
Yeah. I actually just I acquired him, well, in the Brill, the Back Row Invitational League. I got DJ Moore for A.J. Green and Christian Kirk, I believe. Which Kirk has been playing well, but yeah, I don't see him.
I saw faith in him.
I do too. I like Kirk, but I don't see him. He's going to be inconsistent. And, yeah. I think DJ Moore can be a nice solid floor of 12 plus. So I like the deal for myself, but Christian Kirk did score two times after I made it happen.
Yeah.
But I do like DJ Moore in this one. I think he's kind of on a roll. He's getting ready to head back into kind of a dominant direction, like 2019. So I love DJ Moore in this one. If Mike Davis is in, you got to play him. The Saints, Michael Thomas is out again.
Yes.
This is not any reason of his, but he's kind of the biggest bust in fantasy this year. Yep. Injuries happen. We can't blame it on him for bad play, but I mean, you spent a first rounder on him more than likely, and you've gotten zip through almost the first half of the season.
I mean, even in like the 16-teamer dynasty, he would even be a consideration to be taken in the top 16 most of the times on the back end, because he is the number one receiver and he's so much further ahead than everybody else. And it feels like how he could have came back on the low end from his injury, he's actually taking the far end of it. So like,
yeah, just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting worse. So I dealt him. I think I said it on the last episode. I dealt him for DJ Chark in a first. I just had to do what I had to do.
It's like Lambert just made that trade to trade him off for Mike Evans in the first. I'm like, do it.
I mean, fantasy football, it's like no matter what kind of league you're in, like if you don't want to win now, you're not playing correctly.
No.
So I know that dynasty is the long game and you want to be competitive every year, but when you get a guy like Mike Evans or DJ Chark and a first to double right. up and grab a guy that could be the next Michael Thomas or Mike Evans or DJ Chark, how can you not? You know, it's just, to me, it's just good business to cover yourself, have a guy that can help you win now, and you've got capital for next year. Who knows? If Michael Thomas doesn't play another down this season, if he keeps re-injuring himself, you might be able to take that first you got for him and get him right back.
Yeah.
So, gotta play smartly. There's really no one else on this team or in this game.
You got Alvin Kamara. That's about it.
Alvin Kamara is a must start. So, it's, you know, even if Arms was here, this is where our tangent would go on and we wouldn't talk for 20 minutes. He'd be talking about Kamara for a while now. But is there any Saints receiver you're interested in with...
I'm not excited about Smith or Sanders.
Sanders is out.
Oh, is he out? Wow.
Yeah, COVID.
So wow, I didn't see that.
I don't know 100% if he had it, but I saw something to the to the issue about COVID, so I don't think he's playing, so it's going to be like...
Is it a Cook game?
Oh, it's definitely going to be a Cook game as long as he's playing. Seems like every time I see him, he's questionable, but Cook and Traquan Smith might be worth firing up, but I don't even know what receivers they have outside Traquan and... Like, who's the next man up?
I really do not know.
I have no idea. Like, I don't have any... I've not seen anyone with a Saints wide receiver past Traquan Smith in a fantasy league this year. So, I legit don't know. I'm glad you're starting to look it up. But maybe there's a sleeper, a diamond in the rough for that game.
Wow. I don't know. Ty Montgomery.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
They might have... Maybe Ty Montgomery plays receiver this week.
Maybe they'll put Kamara out there and have Murray running most of the time.
Yeah. So Kamara is a magical play this week, more than likely. Jared Cook, probably a good one. Traquan Smith, if anybody's going to score on a throw, it's probably going to be Traquan Smith. So that might be a great play. Outside of that.
And I assume he's cheap in DFS.
Oh, yeah. This could be a great
4,400
week.
4,400 or 3,900 or something.
Great week to pick up Traquan. But the thing is, he's basically Marquez Valdez-Scantling on another team. You're going to get a good game or you're not. It's 50-50. You're not getting more than one or two in a row. It's going to go back and forth. So it's a roll of the dice this week as far as Traquan Smith goes. Anyone else in this game that interests you one way or the other?
No.
I mean, Teddy Two Gloves, I don't think he's startable any week. Like, he surprises, but you can't bank on him, so you can't really put him in.
First of all, you're never excited. That's a lot of our and you're talk not is excited. It's like, man, I'm excited to starting.
Not excited about Drew Brees anymore, either.
I think he's done. I'm tired of seeing him, too.
I think he should be done.
The dink and dunks, and I'm over it.
I'm ready for this new crop of quarterbacks.
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm ready to see the passing of the torch from guys like Brees and Philip Rivers, and obviously Brady and Rodgers are still going to be around. But, you know, there's other quarterbacks that it's time to move on from them.
Well, even the shakeups as far as like Stafford maybe being somewhere else or Ryan being somewhere else. The shakeups would be nice.
Stafford deserves to be somewhere else. Like, the Lions just cannot get it right. So, I wish they were the next game up, but they're not. Let's move on. Bills and Jets. This one's going to be a good one.
For the Bills.
For the Bills?
Yeah. Well, maybe Crowder. Crowder always shows up.
He does, but Joe Flacco's in there. He's showing up Darnold's a little back this week. Bit. Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought Flacco was going to play again, so it shows what I know about this week. Fire up all your Bills with confidence. Yeah. There's no reason not to. Even if it fails and this advice is garbage, you can't willingly sit your studs on the Bills knowing they're playing the Jets.
I'm excited now because the fact they've had two back-to-back matchups of like a tough opponents, and now they have, you know, an easy one this time around.
Yeah. Josh Allen can get back to business. Devin Singletary can get back to business. Maybe Zach Moss. Stephon Diggs, definitely. He's startable every single week so far.
I mean, he's still done good, even though he started pouting at the end of the last game. But
yeah. Well, he does that from time to time. Gabriel Davis probably going to be fine in this one, but is there anyone you're firing up on the Jets side?
I'm happy about Crowder most of the time.
Yeah, you can't really lose with Crowder. I mean, the target share is too high, so he's going to get his. But
and on defense side, what Poole's on that team, right?
Poole's been playing out of his mind.
I do like Poole, and that's about it.
And we normally don't recommend cornerbacks in fantasy, but Brian Poole was a...
Well, he's letting a lot of passes be caught, so he's getting a lot of tackles.
Right, and he's scoring. He's scoring like crazy. So Avery Williamson is putting up good numbers. They're probably going to see plenty of runs, so Avery Williamson's going to be a high...
Yeah.
Pretty a high-quality play this week, but... Running backs on the Jets, LaMichael P. Ryan getting eased in a little more and more.
I'm not excited about any of them.
No, I'm not either. I didn't see anything that I liked last week. Again, it's the Jets, so we're probably not going to see anything that we love. But I do want to throw out a red alert after the Giants and Philly game. I think it's time to buy Wayne Gallman while he's still cheap. He looked really good in that game. Like, the stats don't show how good he looked. But he ran with burst and conviction. Like, he looked really good. He looks better than Devonta Freeman. I don't know why they signed Devonta Freeman, because Wayne Gallman is better than Devonta Freeman, and I hope now he finally gets his chance to at least be a serviceable starter. He's not going to blow anyone's mind. That offensive line is still really bad, but maybe we actually see him be solid. We got some questions. Should I trade Justin Jackson and OBJ for Lockett? I got to say yes.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm not sure if this is a dynasty, a redraft, but I'm not sure that I care. Justin Jackson, it doesn't look like he's playing this week.
He's replaceable.
Yeah, and I like Justin Jackson. Actually, I watched a little bit of the Chargers game last week, and he looks good. He's got burst shiftiness, but he's also hurt all the time. And he's hurt now. So, OBJ, I don't trust the Browns' passing offense whatsoever. Lockett, you throw him in your starting lineup every week with no question. Right. So, you trade for that guy.
He's about as solid can get, like, one bad game this year. That's it.
Right. I'm my days of hating Tyler Lockett are over. Those days are long gone. I can't pronounce your name, Iso Vizert, but hello. Hello. So, if you didn't know... If you tune in every week on podcast catchers, we do stream live, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. You can come on, ask questions. We got the live chat up. Our boy Isovert says, would I be crazy for giving up someone like Eichler for AB? Not if it's redraft.
No.
If it's redraft, nothing crazy at all. If it's dynasty, I think it's crazy.
Yeah, you got to hold on to Eichler.
Yeah, would not trade Eichler for AB in Dynasty whatsoever. He says, I have Zeke and Kareem at the 1 and 2. I get that. Again, if it's redraft, have at it all day long. If it's Dynasty, I would be very, very much reserved.
Yeah, especially for Dynasty, like we talked about earlier. There's way too many mouths to feed on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like AB is going to put up stats like he used to. He's got Mike Evans and Godwin there. And Rob Gronkowski's getting mixed back in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Rojo catches passes.
He does.
Yeah. So, if it's redraft, yeah, all in. Browns, Bengals, Battle of Ohio. It's redraft and AB would become my flex. I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with AB in the flex position. Browns and Bengals. Is there anyone that just pops off the page and says, start me, Neil?
Giovanni's a good one.
Is Travion Williams actually the good one?
I don't see. I'm pretty sure it's gonna be Giovanni, probably 95% of the carries.
Now, see, I thought I saw something a little while back that if in the event that Joe Mixon were to go down, Travion Williams would actually be the bell cow, and Giovanni would mix in more. Yeah, we'd like to see what Travion Williams has got. I know our boy Chris Stoops would like to see what he's got. So.
There's a lot of people. I'm actually excited about a lot of people in this game. I mean, it's all the Bengal receivers.
Yeah, and I don't know if Kareem Hunt alone, like Kareem Hunt looks good, but that rushing attack is not quite as potent without the 1-2 punch.
But it's also who they played recently too, though.
It is, but I like Baker just doesn't look that great. Like, there's just a lot of throws where I feel like he's not getting enough on it. He's not putting enough off his back foot.
He's not
accurate enough. I'm kind of over him, too, I think. I don't think he's ever going to be a true franchise guy. He's kind of middle of the pack. And I just don't know who to trust fantasy-wise on this team. Jarvis Landry has a broken rib.
Yeah.
So he's not doing well. He's in pain. So maybe OBJ is definitely, you could fire him up. But most people are going to fire him up anyways. Maybe Rashard Higgins in his absence, because Austin Hooper isn't going to play either. So, yeah. So you've got Harrison Bryant might be a high upside flyer, and Rashard Higgins. But OBJ's the only guy you can be comfortable starting, and Kareem Hunt. I wouldn't mess with Baker.
Yeah, those two, that's it.
No. And this could be, I'm going to go ahead and say it, actually. This is going to be an upset game.
Right.
This could be Joe Burrow's best game of the season, and he delivers a win against the Cleveland Browns. I hope so, too. But, I mean, like you said last week, you could play cornerback for the Browns right now.
Yeah.
So Burrow's probably going to shred him.
Plus, AJ Green looked pretty good last week, too. He showed some signs of life.
Finally, they need to go ahead and trade him to Green Bay if Green Bay will give him anything for
him. Trade him the path or something.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it. You got Boyd. Alden Tate should get more playing time, too. John Ross, AJ Green. See you later. But yeah, I like Burrow in this one. I wouldn't be comfortable starting a running back on the Bengals because I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know which guy. I mean, you're probably right with Bernard. But I would love to see Travion Williams get a shot.
Yeah.
But as far as the rest of that offense goes, like, I like Burrow, your boy T. Higgins.
Yeah.
And I like Tyler Boyd because there's one of two outcomes. Joe Burrow beats this team with his arm, or the Browns have him throwing all day anyways trying to catch up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a passing attack fantasy frenzy for Bengals owners.
It's kind of, I know it really hasn't worked out for the Bengals, but I'm enjoying watching it right now because it reminds me of the Palmer with CJ and Hushmanzada and Chris Henry days, as far as like nice air attack.
Yeah, and they're there's only one direction to go and it's up. I mean they're not doing a lot, but they can definitely improve and get better. So, anyone else on that side defense wise? I mean, Myles Garrett, you're always going to start him at IDP, yeah. But as far as the Bengals go, they do not have – that's a big part of their issue this year, too. They don't have a dominant guy.
No standouts
on the front seven. Nobody.
Even, like staples on the defensive line, like Atkins and Dunlap, they're not seeing every down play anymore. So.
No. And Josh Bynes, for God's sake, is their starting middle linebacker. I mean, there's just nothing to be excited about on defense.
That has to be an upgrade in the offseason. It has to be.
I don't know how they went into this season.
Like, hey, it's good enough.
Yeah. Well, this guy will work.
Well, they kept Ray Maluga for years and years and years. And
I forgot he existed.
He should.
Wow. Yeah, he wasn't the greatest. Vontaze Burfict, too.
Yeah.
Finally gone. So, anyone else? Those are the only guys we're talking about to me in that matchup. Then we've got a very interesting Cowboys and Washington matchup, like another NFC East battle. Philly laying stake to the crown there again, even though they're not that great. Cowboys Washington, Neil, is there anybody you love in this one?
I mean, I still think you have to start your guys at your studs. You're not going to sit the guys.
No, Andy Dalton's still going to be throwing. Yeah. He may not be as good as Dak, but there's still going to be guys performing. Like there has to be. There just simply has to be. CeeDee Lamb's going to be – CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are probably going to be fine.
And this is the pick'em game, too. That's all it is. It's crazy. Washington is a pick'em against Cowboys right now.
Yeah. Is there anyone on Washington? Scary Terry's getting his target share no matter who's at quarterback, so he looks like he could play with Tom Savage.
Just Gibson and Terry, that's about it on that side.
Yeah. No one else really stands out. Gibson, Terry – by all means, do not play a quarterback. Don't do that to yourself. Don't put Kyle Allen in your starting lineup. He's not like the worst thing I've ever seen, but you're probably not getting a big fantasy day out of a guy like that. So,
and Bostic.
Yeah. Bostic on the defensive side. Leighton Vander Esch is coming back, I believe, this week.
Sean Lee is too, so he's due to get hurt.
Fire up two middle linebackers in fantasy this week. But yeah, CeeDee Lamb.
Of course, Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, yeah. Jalen Smith.
Smith. I have to actually play Jalen Brown this week. So
you can fire up Zeke. You can fire up Lamb. You can fire up Cooper. Dalton Schultz probably be okay too, because tight end landscape is starting to fall off a little bit again. I mean, they're Zach Ertz is out. You know, Dallas Goedert's out. We learned that from the game last night. Surprisingly, Evan Ingram's still healthy somehow. But
dropping balls like always.
That's a trade target, in my opinion. I think they need to move on from Evan Ingram. Give Caden Smith the chance. He looked good.
I agree.
Whenever he had the chance. Ingram still has some trade value, I would think. So, but yeah, Dalton Schultz in this one, I'd be comfortable throwing him out there. Logan Thomas on the other side, I would not. Packers, Texans. Take it away, Neil.
Who are you excited about besides Adams? Are you still on anybody else?
You can't be. I mean, you just, there's no one consistent enough on the Green Bay Packers to be excited about. Aaron Jones.
He's dinged up.
We don't know. That news just came out today. And the Packers stated they're confident in A.J. Dillon in the event of an Aaron Jones missed game. That would be a fun flyer in DFS if A.J. Dillon actually gets the work.
He's going to see some.
And against a team that you can run the ball against. So A.J. Dillon might be a sneaky DFS play. Other than that, you got Devontae Adams, you got Aaron Rodgers.
And Tonyan's hurt.
Tonyan's hurt as well. So, yeah, it really comes down, again, to the Packers whiffing on skill position players in the first few rounds. Although A.J. Dillon, I guess they did draft him. But maybe Jordan Love can play receiver this week.
It's possible.
Maybe that's something that could help him out. Texans, on the other hand.
Fuller. Cunningham.
I mean, Brandon Cooks is still an okay play, not a great one, but I mean.
He's like the sketchiest of sketch.
He's an enigma. But after a couple games ago, it's hard to not consider it because, again, much like.
He's boom or bust.
Yeah, and much like the Browns and Bengals game, this is going to be Deshaun Watson throwing wild on him for the win or throwing wild trying to catch up. So most likely you're going to have a couple wide receivers on that Texans team that are worth playing this week. Nobody at running back. David Johnson, week one, looked kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Ever since, I forgot that he was even a running back in the NFL. Like, there's not been any reason to be like, oh, shit, look what David Johnson did. That hasn't happened.
Nobody said that.
We can't say that. People don't say that. So don't play him. Just don't play him. Defense, Zach Cunningham, every week start, right. No question about it. Packers-wise, I mean, there is, again, it's a Bengals situation. There's no one you can think of on that Packers defense that you want to throw in there. Blake Martinez is gone.
Yeah. Oh, I wish he was still there just so we could say his name.
Christian Kirksey was hurt. I assume he's still hurt. Not 100% on that, but I think he's still hurt. If he was in the game, I would recommend that you could start him, but I don't think that he is. So moving on. Lions and Falcons. Battle of two quarterbacks who deserve to go to teams that can actually do something. Who you got, Neil?
I would of course start every stud I had in this game. Both their defenses are awful.
Yeah, the Lions defense is terrible. The Falcons, this should be the epitome of a shootout. This should be lots of Kenny Galladay, lots of Julio Jones, no injury designation this week whatsoever.
Yeah, Ridley's got the questionable.
Ridley does have the questionable. Russell Gage is probably safe to fire up as a low floor 10-point guy. He'll probably give you 10. I think he gave folks 11 or 12 last week.
Yeah. That's all you can ask for, really. When he started him, that's what you should expect.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first week, that was fool's gold. You know, Russell Gage, nice bye week throw in to get you 10. Nothing wrong with that. Lion side, does DeAndre Swift, is it his time?
I'd actually be pretty – I'm sold on starting him this week.
I am too, but it's the Lions. It worries me. Like, Adrian Peterson could have 30 carries this week. They could give Swift like 4. Like, I'm comfortable putting Swift in as a flex, but in dynasty leagues where I'm well off and he's been sitting as my third or fourth back, I don't know if I can put him in yet.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't be comfortable with starting him over, like, established guys, but I would still be happy having him as my number two if that's what I had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a discomfort. It's just what if. Every week is what if with him. So it's
what if of a lot of the guys on that team, like Hawkinson, any of those guys on that team.
Yeah. And he's been up and down as well. Galladay, you can fire him up. No worries.
Ryan, fire him up, of course. He'll probably have like 330 or above.
Oh, yeah. Matt Ryan, even, you know, and if you're in a league where interceptions aren't murder, I mean, you can fire him up every week because he's going to there's going to be yardage there. So do either one of these guys get traded? Does anyone on these two teams get traded?
I think Ryan, I think it's like his number's insane. I don't know if it's like upwards of almost 40 next year or something like that for somebody to take him on.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
He's not going to get traded this year. It's one of those things where they can draft a quarterback coming up, then him like get supplanted next year, then get moved on because I think the number drops drastically. But Stafford, his number isn't nearly as bad as Ryan's is.
No. And Stafford's a guy that should get traded. If they lose this one, and Patricia is fired, because I think he will be if they lose. I think Matt Patricia will be your next firing if the Lions lose this game.
Well, they said during the offseason, and maybe last season, that it's playoffs or bust for him this year.
Has to be. I mean, this is the NFL. This is what you get. You get a couple years, and if you don't do anything, that's what you got.
And they replaced a 97 coach when they brought him in. It's like, well, 97 wasn't good enough, so.
Yeah. Because he was a shiny Patriots coordinator.
Yeah, Caldwell was 97, I believe.
Yeah. So if you see Patricia go, I would look out for Stafford to follow right after him. Although, where would Stafford go? I mean, let's play.
I mean, there's a lot of places.
Theoretical here. Like, to me, God, Drew Brees should do the right thing and be like, guys, I'm going to go ahead and retire midseason. And then the Saints could bring in Stafford and head straight right back to the playoffs.
I mean, Winston would make a stopgap for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Winston probably. I mean, he would at least make it interesting and fun.
He could throw a deep ball still.
But Washington, like a Stafford to Washington deal, that would be interesting. Stafford.
He's an upgrade over Rivers, isn't he?
Yeah. Stafford to the Colts. That's a massive upgrade.
Right. Niners, but they're still sold in Garoppolo.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had a good week. So yeah. So he just set the franchise back at least 3 to 4 more games. So. Yeah, they should have brought in Tom Brady. Like they wanted to.
Yeah.
They should have done it. Like that would have been the 49ers would be a completely different team if they brought Tom Brady in.
They would probably still be running the ball constantly, but
They would, but I mean but when they threw the ball, how many times does Garoppolo miss just a little left or just a little behind?
Yeah.
Little bit too deep, a little bit too short.
He's in like the small group of NFL quarterbacks that I can't stand watch play.
I know. Baker Mayfield. Baker, the same things. It's like frustrating. It's like, wow, I see that they're capable, but they just don't do it all the time.
It's like the boneheaded mistakes. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm obviously not a quarterback. I can't do what they do. But it's like just watching like Trubisky, anybody like that. I just can't stand. I don't like watching bad quarterback play.
It's hard to, you know, I made a comment on Twitter not that long ago. I said 12 teams could probably move on at quarterback and no one would blink an eye. Of course, some jackass was like, you're an idiot. Like, but no, really. Like, there's probably a solid 12 teams that could do something at quarterback. Like,
there's always a good metric to me. You can always judge a quarterback on. If it's 3rd and 15, can your quarterback have a chance of making it?
That's a good measuring stick.
You think you know Brady can. I mean, I think Wentz can. Obviously, like
Wentz is such a good quarterback. I just don't know.
His situation's terrible. I hate to judge.
It is, and he gets nicked up. There's a lot of things that factor into. But man, you watch him against the Giants. Some of the throws he makes are beautiful. Like he has all the arm talent in the world, and he actually has the mind as well. He's got the brain to play the position. Mm-hmm. There's just other things working against him. And at some point, you got to wonder, like, do you keep rolling with it, you know?
But there is, like, probably about, 15 quarterbacks. You still have belief they can get those downs.
Yeah.
And, like, there's like let's say Danny Dimes. He knows it's doom and gloom when it happens. It's not going to happen. Mayfield ain't going to happen. Even, like, when Newton last week was on fourth down when they had a chance to come back at the last drive. It's just like, it's not going to happen.
Now, I will give Daniel Jones the benefit of the doubt. because he is working with an absolutely awful line.
I agree with that. I still think there's
hope for him, in my opinion. But I think Baker, we've seen who he is. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I think we've seen who he is.
But he falls in that group because even like Burrow shows that he can do it.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of quarterbacks can do it. And if your quarterback, if you're like, oh damn, it's third and 15, there's no chance we get this. Just move on. I'm over it. It's like if they can't do it, just go. Who cares?
And that's why I said 12 teams could make a move at quarterback, because if you don't have a guy that can complete that third and 15 and like get the troops riled up, then you don't have the guy.
Like even Fitzpatrick can do it. You know what I mean? Like, hell yeah, Fitz can do it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm still pissed off, man. I'm still upset. I could cry over that. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm glad you mentioned him. Like in case you were living under a rock, Tua Tagovailoa is named the starter. I don't hate that. I actually think it could potentially be brilliant, because if Tua Tagovailoa stays healthy and is that good, and we know that he is, health is the only issue. Like if he's that good and he takes Miami's recent play and kicks it up a notch, the move could look brilliant. I'm pissed off because they didn't talk to Ryan Fitzpatrick about it before they did it. It's like Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out, outscores teams like 76-17 over the last 2 weeks. Games. Yeah. Absolutely murdered it. He's a great guy, a great mentor, a great tutor, one of the most fun personalities in the league. And you just don't even have the conversation with him. You just name Tua as the starter and you break his heart. Like it, that pisses me off because he's given everything he's got to.
Right. He plays like super, super hard.
He does. And he's not the most talented quarterback in the world. We know that.
Yeah, he's definitely a blue-collar guy.
Yeah, he's been benched a million times, but like you're going to get everything he's got. And in a lot of cases, everything he's got is enough. And it makes me pretty upset that they did this to him. Now, again, it could look brilliant. I'm not mad about anything other than the fact that they blindsided.
Yeah, the way it was handled.
Because he doesn't deserve that. Angry Dolphins fan on the show this evening. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't deserve it. That being said, pretty damn pumped to watch Tua play a whole game. I know he only threw two passes last week in his debut.
Against the Jets.
But one of those plays was impressive as hell.
Yeah.
When he rolled out and threw it on a dime to the sideline. Short pass, short completion. You know, the pass was long, but it was a short yardage completion. That got me excited, but I didn't know they were going to do what they did. Anyone else, Lions, Falcons? I think Carry On, that could be a trade candidate. I don't know why they wouldn't.
I'm tired of seeing him, too. Just move on.
Just move on. He's actually got talent, though.
It's just one of the situations where he's always there, and he's plateaued of what he's going to be able to do there. I'm just over it.
Yeah. To me, that's a perfect guy you trade to a team like the Jets that's starting to rebuild, because, I mean, LaMichael Perine, whether you like him or not, I mean, he's still like a fourth-round running back. We don't know if he's actually going to be good. So Carry On could play for teams like the Giants, the Jets,
the Texans, you know what I mean?
The Texans. Yeah. I mean, there's a litany of teams that Kerryon Johnson could probably step into and actually get playing time. The Niners, because Raheem Mostert, gone again.
Yeah, banged up.
Gone again. So, yeah, I digress. Kenny Golladay, Stafford and Ryan, heck yeah.
How about Gurley?
Gurley's been solid. Yeah. I think you got to throw him in there.
Yeah. I'm not super excited about him, but I'd still throw him in there.
No, I'm never. But, I mean, he does. The floor, again, is pretty damn solid. Like, the floor is the same as David Montgomery and probably Rojo. I mean, he's giving you passes out of the backfield. He's giving you the lion's share of a committee number of carries. So, again, like you said, nothing exciting. I'm actually going to pull it up real quick. Nothing exciting, but he's a play. If you got him and you don't already have two really good running backs, you kind of got to play him. Todd Gurley, 14th overall in our league of record.
Averaging 15.
Yeah. And that's
15.
That's good. I mean, that's a good asset to have.
It is, but I'm just been where in my two main leagues. I have Mike Davis, and I've been spoiled by the 20 plus games.
Oh yeah, you can't sit. Yeah, you can't sit Davis.
No, I'm just saying this. I get jaded because I see like the Davis performances and all that, and I have to remember that the team games are good.
Right. But yeah, all right. See, I'm in a position. My guys are Ronald Jones and David Montgomery in my league of record. And if I had Todd Gurley, that would make my decision hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably have to put him in over Montgomery sometimes, even though Montgomery gets the Lions' bulk of the carries. The line is not good. The run blocking in Chicago is just not good. So, Gurley, nothing to get excited about. But, yeah, I think you got to play him. He's a top 15 guy right now. Steelers-Titans. Does Derrick Henry get bottled up in this one? Can anyone bottle up Derrick Henry?
He's still a must start, regardless of how bad the matchup is. Is Brown hurt?
Brown popped back up on the injury report. I'm not sure if he's actually hurt, but he definitely popped up.
I knew he had a designation. I just didn't know how severe it was because I don't have any shares.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain. I'm going to try to pull it up. I'm fairly certain that he's not looking good for this week.
It's like a lot of the Steelers fans were saying they weren't scared of Henry in this matchup. They're scared of Tannehill.
Right. And it is a knee injury. I think it's going to come down to a game-time decision. Jonnu Smith is back.
Yeah, that's a good addition.
Yeah, and Jonnu's been really good. So I think you can play Jonnu. Derrick Henry, I don't know how you sit him. I know it's Steelers, but you still can't sit Derrick Henry because good defenses still have off games.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's going to give you an off game, it's probably going to be Derrick Henry. Hey, look. Our latest comment, want to become famous? Buy followers, primes, and views on big follows? Click on this link.
Yeah.
Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll get right on that one.
Yeah, we'll get right on that one. We're going to take our Manscaped shavers and shave your balls. That's what we're going to do. So give us a few more thoughts on the Steelers-Titans game, and I'll tell everybody about Manscaped.
I mean, we're all excited about the Steel receivers still, right?
All of them. Deontay Johnson should be back this week. Chase Claypool is a must start, even though he's going to be inconsistent. I mean, he's just, you can't put a guy like that on your bench.
Steelers are showing everywhere right now. Like, even Connor, it gets like, at every position, you pretty much like, you're safe to start any of them.
And Connor's looked really good.
Yeah, he really has.
I mean, I can't, you know, again, that's a Wentz thing right there. Like, Connor's got the talent. He gets nicked up.
The way it is right now, I know it's like way early, but I mean, as far as like the, I really do think it's we Steelers and Buccaneers right now, as far as the way they're both playing.
That would actually be a great, I mean, two really good defenses, two older quarterbacks that are still getting
and two
done.
Loaded wide receiving cores.
Loaded receiver cores. Rojo looks pretty damn good this year, and so does James Conner.
And they're pretty much very similar.
Yeah. So that would actually be, that'd be a damn good matchup, honestly. Anyways, let's give you a quick message from the sponsor of tonight's show, which, of course, is Manscaped. Autumn is in the air, and Manscaped is here to ensure you don't carve your pumpkins when you're grooming. By grooming, we mean, you know, getting the balls nice and clean. And by pumpkins, when we say don't carve them, we mean your boys. So, Manscaped is on a mission to change the way you approach caring for your balls. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. Let's not forget the trimmer, the 3.0, the lawnmower 3.0 is the best trimmer you can possibly get for your butt, balls, and body. That's three B's that'll twist the tongue. Have you used the lawnmower?
I've used it on my head.
Dude, it's a good, it's a damn good trimmer.
I'm just happy they don't want people looking European in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Manscaped is doing everything they can to fight that. But the Manscaped, there's so much stuff you can get in the packages. They got a lot of different packages you can use. They have hair and body wash that come in some packages. They've got cologne. They've got ball wipes because you never know what's going to pop up. Mm-hmm. You might be somewhere and somebody says, hey, you want to go here? I need my Manscaped ball wipes. Got to have them. They've got crop cleanser. It's a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. They've got the crop care kit, that includes ball deodorant. They've got everything that you could possibly need for your male grooming needs. And listen, I'm not ashamed.
And
I'm a male groomer.
And I love the boxers.
Yeah. You can get boxers, t-shirt. I haven't wore the boxers yet. Like, I'm totally transparent. I'm not going to bullshit anybody on the product. I haven't wore the boxers. But I've used the other things. And unlike Neil, I've taken the lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, and I've done the grooming. I tried to carve the pumpkins. Couldn't carve them. That thing is smooth. It doesn't cut anything. It's a great, great razor. You can get 20% off by using the promo code BRFS at manscaped.com. We highly suggest it, and it would help us out in securing this sponsor for the show. So if you're a male groomer and you weren't born in the 50s and you're not overly conservative and just let the bush flow out, go to manscaped.com, give it a try, use the promo code BRFS, and even hop on Twitter at the Back Row Show. Let us know how it worked out for you. It's working out well for me, and I needed a new trimmer. So to get a good one is awesome. Buccaneers, Raiders. This is going to be a good game. It should be a good game. Both teams are good. The Raiders, the only thing that can make this game terrible is the offensive line situation with COVID.
I was going to say, that's the one thing that's going to hurt, especially the way the defensive line and linebacking corps for Tampa Bay played last week.
Yeah, it could be scary, but I didn't read up completely. I don't know how many players
it's
from
one
that
right
line.
Now. Just Trent.
Are the rest definitely out?
No, just Trent was. The rest of them were cleared through the contact tracing.
Okay, so there is still potential for this to be a pretty damn good game. Who do you like in this game for fantasy purposes?
So I got one in Evans. I mean, I like Rojo still. Do you believe in Gronk now or no?
With the landscape of tight ends going back to atrocity lately, I think Gronk is an okay floor. He's probably 8 to 10 points because he'll probably catch 3 or 4 balls for 50, 60 yards.
And on the other side of Waller, I'm sure. I mean, the coverage on the linebacking corps for Tampa Bay is pretty good.
It is pretty good, but you got to play Waller.
You have to play him. You have to play him.
Despite Ruggs and those guys, like, Waller's still the pass catcher to play. So, Waller, I don't love Jacobs in this one. Jacobs hasn't really done anything to blow us away this year. He's been solid.
I feel like he's still out to play him, though.
I mean, he's averaging more than most backs, so, I mean, he's playing well. I think it's just the lack of 100-yard games with Jacobs. Like, you haven't seen the big game out of him. You got the biggest game you could possibly get out of him in week 1. He scored 3 touchdowns. But, I mean, the yards per carry are not great. The receptions are not great. So there's just a little bit to be desired. He's kind of he's not a grinder. He's got more talent than that.
Yeah.
But thus far, he looks kind of like a grinder.
Yeah, I hate seeing the 27 carries for 88 yards.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's going to get the load, but you're probably not getting anything crazy out of it. Now, that being said, you know, the past handful of games, they've played the Patriots, the Bills, the Chiefs, 3 good defenses. Yes. He scored 2 touchdowns against the Chiefs. But he's greener pastures should be coming after the Bucks. Got the Browns, Chargers, Broncos, Falcons, Jets. There's some tough ones in there, too.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a nice play for your playoff push.
And I won't advocate trying to get him because his asking price is still through the roof.
Yeah, nobody will give him up.
No.
Nobody will give him up whatsoever. Scotty Miller, does he play with a chip on his shoulder and give you a surprisingly good week? No, AB's coming in.
I'm not excited about playing him, though.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever excited about playing Scotty Miller.
But I'm more excited about Renfro than him.
I don't think he's done anything this year, has he? Has he had a game at all that's been made you say,
No, I just love him.
He's a Clemson guy, right?
Yeah.
There we go. That's fine. Anyone else?
No.
No defense, no. I mean, Devin White.
Well, yeah, the linebacking corps for Tampa Bay, they're pretty much a given.
Yeah, you can probably play 3 out of the 4 of those guys
Yes.
comfortably. But Raiders, I don't know if Kwiatkowski's back this week or not. Corey Littleton's not done. I threw a warning out there.
I was about to say I had to play him because of Miles Jack being hurt and out. Then I'm like, and then I look at Littleton's stats. I'm like, when's he going to show up?
He's not. I mean, it's Micah Kizer is killing it. Do you think Micah Kizer's that talented?
I don't know.
I mean, he might be. He does look pretty good. But that scheme is just really, it's really good for the guys in the middle in L.A. The Raiders is just a little bit different. Kwiatkowski, to me, is still the tackling machine if he can ever get back on the field. So that's if he's playing this week, I haven't looked. If he is, he might be worth firing up because Buccaneers are going to want to slow this one down.
Yeah.
I think both teams are going to want to play a grinded out game at least through a couple quarters, and then Brady will probably take over in surprise and you know, use his wide receivers to his ability and get ahead of him. I see this being another Buccaneers win. I think they start going on a streak. I think they start becoming dangerous as of this week. Like they, you know, this is the next logical step after whipping Green Bay. You go in and you take care of the Raiders handily, and the league's on alert.
Yeah, I don't see the Raiders winning this one at all.
I don't either. I think the Raiders are a little bit of fool's gold. I think we got, you know, it was exciting, but I don't really think they're that good. We'll find out this week. Chiefs and Broncos, Neil. Do the Broncos have any chance of winning this game? Do they have any inkling? Should they even be playing in this game? Should they just call it a loss and give it to the Chiefs?
It's just a little speed bump. I wouldn't even call it a speed bump. I'm not excited about any of the Broncos. Even like what Josie Jewell, that's it.
Yeah.
Is Gordon playing?
Tim Patrick's been a solid play.
Yeah.
I don't know about Melvin Gordon. Again, I will look up Melvin Gordon, but Philip Lindsay had a good week last week. Tim Patrick's totally playable. Tim Patrick's startable.
And Fant's still, you know, injury designation.
He's back. I think he's back. I think he's good to go.
Yeah, he should be coming, but he's still designated.
So those guys should be good. Jerry Jeudy hasn't done enough to warrant putting him in a starting lineup so far this year, in my opinion. He's been okay as a bye week guy, but
Gordon's back. Yeah, I fire him up.
Gordon's back. No league discipline so far. So yeah, you definitely fire him up. But the Chiefs' defense is pretty good. I mean, they've
stepped up.
You're getting the safe floor of Melvin Gordon. 10 or 12 points at a minimum.
I'm happy with the teens. Yeah. That's all I'm hoping for.
Right. Because averaging in the teens is the way to go. So when a running back gives you 12 or 13, you can't be that upset. Chiefs side, Mahomes, which, you know, Mahomes hasn't really been. He's still Mahomes. He's winning football games. He's doing what great quarterbacks do. But other than that, I mean, the touchdowns, the yardage is there. The touchdown to interception ratio is there. The fantasy points are good. I mean, they're good.
They're just not gross. He's not outpacing everybody else by 50 to 100 points.
Right. Now, his season so far, it's beautiful. 1,699 yards, 15 touchdowns, one pick. Like, he legit is the truth.
And last week was like real heavy winds and very cold. So that's why they ran it so many times.
Right. So the he should technically get it back on track. You might get yourself a massive fantasy week out of him this week. Fire him up with full confidence. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fine. Do you think Le'Veon Bell's really going to cut into much this soon?
I don't believe he will be.
No. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think he's a solid start.
It's a wait-and-see approach on that one. I wouldn't start building capacity.
Yeah. Wide receivers in this game, outside of Tim Patrick. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you're going to start your studs. I mean, he's a top guy. He's 12th in our league of record right now.
Kelsey, too.
Yeah, me too. Kelsey, you're good to go there.
And that's about as deep as I think I'd go on that one.
Probably as deep as I'd go on it, too. And I really regret trading Chase Claypool in this league. He's a.
Didn't you get Ayuk out of it though?
He's a game winner. I did, but
he's at least scoring now.
I mean, I like Ayuk. I think Ayuk's going to be really good, but I gave up potentially the rookie of the year.
Yeah,
you know, because I sold high. Sometimes selling high can come back and just completely bite you in the ass. Anyone else in the Chiefs Broncos game? I mean, Kelsey's a definite. You know, you got to start Travis Kelsey, but Is there anyone else?
No.
Jaguars, Chargers, Herbert versus Minshew. Minshew's, can we go ahead and say it's time? Like, I like Gardner Minshew. This guy's the next Ryan Fitzpatrick to me. He's going to be the best backup quarterback in the league one day.
And Minshew, he actually falls in the category on the right side of it. With the, I would trust him at 3rd and 15. And he could actually pull off his plays and, like, say, break, once again, Baker Mayfield and all that. But for this game, I wouldn't be scared to fire him up, even though the defense is still good on the Chargers side.
If you're starting a franchise up today, who you want as your quarterback? You only got these options, Baker or Minshew.
Give me Minshew.
I think I'd say give me Minshew too.
I trust him in those certain situations. I don't trust Baker. So.
I don't either. I kind of trust Minshew's competitive nature a little more than Baker. I think Baker expects to be good, and Minshew works to be good. So,
who do you like on that side? Just him and Chark?
Josh Kelly's going to be a nice play this week.
He should.
Justin Jackson is on the injury report again. I don't know necessarily that he's going to miss, but Joshua Kelly is going to be a good play. I don't know about Herbert this week. I think Keenan Allen is questionable or out. Gonna have to double check that. Raining cats and dogs in the studio. Allen.
It feels like I never have any shares of Charger players.
No, I don't either. He's ready to play. So, yeah, Herbert's probably going to be fine in this one then.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have his plethora of weapons at his disposal. I expect the Chargers win. I'm fine with Chark.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily love James Robinson in this one, but he's going to be a safe floor. He's probably going to give you 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably not going to get anything upsetting out of that. But other than that, there's nothing crazy exciting on this game.
No. I really don't see Jags doing too much against that defense anyway.
Probably the reason that I don't own Chargers players. I'm just never that excited about them.
No.
Niners, Patriots, your team. Garoppolo revenge game.
They have to bounce back from this one. They can't afford to get 2-4. I'm not excited about any of the players, though.
Mostert's out. McKinnon's an okay play. When Mostert's out, McKinnon gets run. He's a safe floor. Again, I've said it 50 times this episode. 10 to 12 points, you're probably getting that. You don't know who to start at wide receiver. Ayuk has games. Debo has games. Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that they don't have a franchise quarterback. Patriots, sometimes Cam Newton gives you running yards and touchdowns. Sometimes he don't.
Sometimes James White gets you 20 rushing yards and 4 receptions for 40 yards or something. You don't know.
Sometimes Rex Burkhead looks like Peyton Hillis in his prime. Sometimes he don't. There's not a lot to get excited. No, N'Keal Harry is one of the grossest plays in fantasy the last 2 years. I wouldn't trade you Tim Patrick for N'Keal Harry right now.
I wouldn't either.
Nothing to be excited about. He's doing nothing.
Belichick finally spent a first rounder on a wide receiver, and now he regrets it. He won't do it again, will he?
Yeah. Damir Bird is his dude. I mean, Damir Bird. That's your dude, Belichick. Not the guy you spent a first on.
So basically, the only people that actually went out and got that were actually high, between him and the second for Sanu, that are biting them. They prefer the bums.
Yeah. This is
the castaways.
I'm sure there's going to be some fantasy players in this game, but I don't know who the fuck they are.
So nothing exciting.
I don't know who they are. I'm just being honest. I have no idea.
Fred Warner.
Fred Warner. George Kittle.
That's really it.
Fred Warner, George Kittle.
As far as being happy about, those are the only two I can think of.
So there you go. Seahawks and Cardinals.
I mean, I love all the Seahawks receivers.
This should be a fun game.
I'm actually going to watch this one.
Theoretically, it should be a really fun game. Kyler versus Russell. They're both, their games are a lot alike. Like, they have a lot in common as far as what they can do on the field. I don't know if there's anyone you want to sit in this one.
Yeah,
honestly.
So I wonder what the over-under is on this. It has to be bad.
You would think it would.
I got it. But you got to be happy for all the receivers on both sides of this. well, maybe only two deep on the Arizona side.
Yeah, there's no, you want to start Christian Kirk, but you can't. He's too inconsistent. I mean, it's DeAndre Hopkins and that's it. Rain Norms, he says, should I be trying to move AB?
Yes.
It is a little bit dependent on the situation, but I personally would move AB, especially in dynasty leagues, especially if you can get a player that's got longevity back for him. Absolutely. But yeah, Cardinals, Kenyon Drake showed up last week.
Yep. He's due for a bad game this week.
Yeah. Drake, I still fire him up. Drake.
Yeah. You have to.
Drake, Hopkins, Murray, fire him up. I don't know what receiver. I mean, Christian Kirk, if you don't have anyone else. Seahawks, Russ, Carson, DK, lock it in.
It's a lot of points. It's 55 is what I've seen. They've run under on it.
Who's favorite? Well, I mean, obviously the Seahawks are probably favorite.
The Seahawks are by 3.5.
That's a respectable line. That's a lot of respect shown to the Cardinals. Defensive side, Seattle's had some issues at linebacker, and their first round rookie Jordan Brooks has been injured. So a guy named Cody Barton has stepped in, 23-year-old player, third round pick last year out of Utah. 14 tackles before the bye week, mm-hmm. whenever he stepped in. That's a guy I'd consider throwing in if you need a linebacker. I'd consider throwing Cody Barton in, seeing what he can do. Who is someone reasonable to trade for AB? There's a lot of them. A lot of guys, Rain. A lot of guys. So if you can give me some names, we'll gladly answer them.
Or what you need, or
yeah.
Dynasty.
But if you've got people in your league coming hard after AB, get something. Like, get something for him. Don't hold on to him. I'm going to be trading him where I can. So just get it done, son. Move AB out. He's not going to put up incredible numbers. He's going to have good games, but there's just too many weapons.
I would even move him for a third.
You would? I wouldn't do that.
In my current situation in the team, I do have him for, I would move him for a third.
Rain says, I kind of need some running backs. If you can get a running back that can put up points, trade him. I don't know what running backs you can get for him, because running backs are hard to acquire no matter what these days. We'll wait and see some names. Still, if you can get a running back that is producing in the top 20, should we say 20 or 25?
It would have to be a running back that is in the 10 to 15 range, I would think, in points.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. Let's go through some of the running backs in our league of record and where they stand. Obviously, the top 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, probably the top 15, we don't even have to mention. Jonathan Taylor, if you can get him for AB, yeah, do it. 1,000%. Miles Gaskin, even though last week I sounded the alarm that he could be getting passed, that's not happening yet. No. So Gaskin, I would take him for AB. David Montgomery, I would take him for AB. Drake, yep. David Johnson, no. I would not take David Johnson for AB.
No, I would not.
Darrell Henderson, absolutely.
Gibson, yeah, fire him up.
Antonio Gibson, absolutely. DeAndre Swift, hell yes. Singletary, hell yes. Melvin Gordon, hell yes. That's about where it ends. I'm sure there's someone else in there. You have Hunt, Aaron Jones, and Montgomery. And you need running backs? That's a pretty solid three. But if you can get Jonathan Taylor for AB, by all means. Let's talk about this Bears and Rams game. Do the Bears keep it going? Can they win yet again?
I really do think Bears can win this game.
I don't understand how they're winning.
Their defense, man. They're just playing stellar ball.
And Nick Foles has nothing on his passes, but he's having good games. I really don't understand.
He gave a fiery post-game speech, too, so it's pretty nice looking, actually.
Big Dick Nick. Just swinging all over the place. Getting it done.
And still you're only excited about two people on the team.
Yeah. No, well, wait, who? Allen Robinson?
And Montgomery.
I'm not excited about Montgomery any week. He's given me a nice floor, but he's not giving me game-winning production. I mean, I like him. He's getting the receiving work now, too. But Allen Robinson's the only thing exciting about the Bears to me. Besides, no, that's it. That's it. Just Allen Robinson. Rams side.
Which receiver's going to be the best one this week?
Which one's going to be the best? I'm going with Robert Woods again.
Yeah, I know he's designated. I'm not sure how bad it is.
I like Woods. Jared Goff is another one of those guys. Is Goff exciting to start? I honestly don't even know where he's sitting this year in the tier of quarterbacks. Goff, 14th. 27 points, which if you go by average per game on Goff, that's 20th. So the answer is no, you're not excited.
And on my metric, I have faith in Goff in certain situations. So he's not one of the Baker Mayfield guys.
Yeah, he's a matchup play.
Yeah.
you got to play Goff in the right matchup. Hunt and AB for Godwin or hell no? The answer is hell no.
Right, hell no.
The answer is hell no. Godwin hasn't done a lot anyways, and now he's got AB there with him, and Kareem Hunt is a baller whether Chubb is there or not. Nope, wouldn't do that. Not, no, just no. Anyone else Bears Rams-wise? Tyler Higbee, maybe.
I think he's hurt too, isn't he?
Probably, knowing my luck.
I mean, Henderson, I'm not excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can play him because Cam Akers apparently is never getting a chance.
No.
So you can play Daryl Henderson. Hunt and AB for Godwin. No, don't do that. Just don't.
But as far as this Rams receivers is about it. That's about the only thing I'm excited about on that side.
Yeah, and you can probably fire him and Cooper Kupp up, no problem. Wouldn't be overly excited because the Bears have a pretty solid defense, but somebody's got to catch the ball. Somebody's got to score points. Could turn out to be a good game.
But Bears could have been in the market to trade for receiver, too, like A.J. Green.
I don't know if they need to, though. Darnell Mooney is a rookie.
They need a legit number two. This don't have. I don't know.
I think Mooney's going to be that guy, but Anthony Miller is just kind of mediocre. There's just nothing exciting about him either. But the Bears do need something. They need explosiveness. They need a guy that can stretch the field.
It's like when he had Marshall and Alshon at the same time.
Yeah, they need something to hang their hat on offensively, and they don't really have it right now. So they could benefit from a John Ross, honestly.
A
decoy.
Yeah.
Somebody that could free up those other receivers and Jimmy Graham.
A Brandon Cooks,
yeah. John Ross to the Bears. John Ross to the Bears is the best thought I've had all night. That would actually be very beneficial to me. The Bears need some speed, and that's what John Ross does. And you got to cover him because you never know. He could catch it.
He'll get hurt in the process, he will catch it.
He could possibly catch it. That's all the games. All the games. Miami's on a bye this week, which upsets me. I got to wait for Tua time. Hopefully Fitzpatrick can mend his heart by then. We'll see.
Now watch Fitzpatrick. He'll have to come back in at some point this season. Watch it happen.
Oh, chances are. I mean, if Tua gets hit real hard, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I think about Tua, and I'm like, wasn't he in that movie? What was it, Glass? Yeah. Wasn't he in that movie with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, Mr. Glass.
Like, every time he gets up and tries to go anywhere, he gets hurt, which is unfair. I mean, he's had some injuries, but so have other guys in the league. I hope he stays healthy. We'll see. So what do you think about this armsless episode?
I was able to speak much more.
We were, but you didn't get some of your anger out at him.
No.
That's some of the best parts of the show is when you're just like, you know what, arms, I'm gonna break it down right now.
I didn't
tell you everything I think about
it. I didn't get to break out any OSU homerisms.
No. Meme Central, 12-man league, full PPR. That's a hell of a message, Meme Central. You have anything to add to it that we might be able to answer? You've got 30 seconds before the show is over.
I can imagine 12-man league, how much people are available on the waiver wire to drive me nuts.
That's the kind of league where Antonio Gibson's on the wire. Alan Lazard, before he got hurt, probably on the wire. Antonio Brown's probably still on the wire. Like 12. Listen, this is nothing against you, Meme Central, but I'm going to go out on this note. 12 man leagues are fucking boring. They are fucking boring.
It's like we've talked about before. I cannot stand seeing good players on the bench.
No.
You or need a on a waiver wire.
You need a league that. Where the waiver wire is a true crapshoot every week. Like, I see our waiver wire list of guys who got bid on and picked up, and I'm like, which one of these motherfuckers are doing anything this week? It's
like, who's this guy, and why is he picking him up?
Exactly. Like, what the hell? Our waiver wire is barren. There is nothing on our waiver wire. Let me tell you what's on our waiver wire. That's how we're going out of the show tonight. So we're going to go top. We're going to look up the best scorers free agent-wise. This is a 16-team 30-man roster in Dynasty. It's IDP. Your top waiver wire pickup is Jason Sanders of the Miami Dolphins.
Kicker, obviously.
Carlton Davis of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The cornerbacks.
It is a cornerback.
I mean, all cornerbacks.
I'm going to add him right now. You got Carlton Davis. I meant to pick him up last week, I think. It's cornerback. Joe Thomas of the Dallas Cowboys, linebacker, corner. Dontrell Inman is your premier offensive player available on the waiver wire in our 16-team dynasty. The way it should be.
And all those points came from one game.
All those points came from week three. But that's the guy that if someone needs a wide receiver this week and you can't trade for one, Dontrell Inman gets picked up off waivers this week in our league. That's how it goes. That's what it is. Best quarterback available is Kyle Allen. That's the way it should be.
I'm actually shocked he's available.
Huh?
I'm actually shocked he's available.
Phil, who's in our league, traded Tua for Baker. So he got his backup quarterback and Tua off his taxi. Mm. So he dropped Kyle Allen, I sold Kyle Allen to him for like $5, I think. So, because I didn't have a backup at the time. Hell, I might not have a backup now. I might need to grab Kyle Allen. Let's go ahead and throw him in there and just see what happens.
Dark days.
Dark friggin' days indeed. I honestly don't know if I have a backup quarterback in this league or not.
But that's how our free agent pool should look like.
That's our free agent pool, man. 12 teamers. Not good. Not good at all. It's just not a challenge. And that's the note we'll go out on. Oh, I got Aaron Rodgers, my quarterback. He doesn't have he's already got his bye out of the way. Mm-hmm. I'll have to fix that. Anyways, no arms. Let us know what you thought about it. Was it nice? This lines up perfectly with like the past two presidential debates. I hate to get political, but when Arms is here, we can't get a fucking word in. Now Trump's calmed down and Arms is gone. It's like we're Joe Biden. We get to actually talk about our policies this week. We got to actually speak about what we like this week.
But now I have bottled up rage I haven't been able to unleash yet.
Yeah. Well, definitely if you made it this long in this episode, tune in next week because Arms is probably going to rip Arms' heart out of his chest.
Yeah.
Very Indiana Jones-like. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Barks out. Neil's out.
Later.
Peace.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.